Welcome to Manga Cubed, episode 112. Your one stop for manga news and commentary for the week of September 8th, 2014. I am your main host, Derek, and I am joined by my co-host, Mo.
Good morning, everyone. It's been a really hectic week, I think.
Yeah, it has, just a bit, you know. Dealing with stuff, dealing with life and all that fun stuff, dealing with a Google Doc that decides that it would rather freeze than do its frickin' job.
Dealing with the humanity that wants to kill me, I swear. It's like the sun became an incarnation of what of like the Super Mario Brothers 3 sun. I hate that bomb. Mm. I mean,
indeed, yeah. And, okay, there we go. I'm getting everything all... Yeah, it's been a week. It's been a week indeed. But let's go ahead and start in with the news.
Yeah, the comic rankings.
Yes, you go ahead and start. Mine's still loading.
Okay, Japanese comic rankings for the week of August 25th to 31st. 10th place is XXXHolic Ray Volume 3.
Alright, what's the next one?
9th place, Attack on Titan Volume 14.
Okay, and...
Eighth place, Terraform Mars Volume 10.
Okay. Seventh place is Kino Nani Tabita Volume 9.
Sixth place, Servant Service Volume 4.
Fifth place, Oku The Inner Chambers Volume 11.
Fourth place, Silver Spoon Volume 12.
Third place, Tokyo Ghoul Volume 13.
Second place, Hozuki no Reitetsu Volume 15.
First place, Aoharu Ride Blue Spring Ride Volume 11. And let's see, moving on, we have the Japanese, the New York Times manga bestseller list for August 24th to the 30th. And in 10th place, we have Attack on Titan, Volume 2.
9th place, Attack on Titan, No Regrets, Volume 1.
8th place, Say I Love You, Volume 3.
7th place, number 6 is, 7th place, number 6, Volume 8.
6th place, Maximum Ride, Volume 8.
5th place, Attack on Titan Volume 1.
4th place, High School DD Volume 2.
3rd place, Monster Musume Volume 4.
2nd place, Sword Art Online Einkrad Volume 2 Light Novel.
1st place, Attack on Titan Volume 13.
Oh, that's out already? I'll have to go get that.
Yeah, it is. It's out.
Okay, well, and alright. For the anime releases for August 31st through September 6th, we start off with the anime releases with Black Widow
DVD. That's a porn.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyways, Baka and Test Season 1 DVD Complete Sets Save Edition and Season 2 Save Edition. Wait. Baka and Test Season 2 and OVA DV Complete Set Save Edition.
Indeed.
Why is the Season 1 missing and, Oh, no, Season 2 is an OVA, okay.
Season 2 has an OVA in it.
Yes, it has an OVA,
Blu-ray or something. Yep. And we've got the Bloodlad DVD Complete Series and the Bloodlad DVD Blu-ray Complete Series.
Demon Warrior Koji, or no?
Yep, Fate Kalaid Liner Prisma Ilya Blu-ray and DVD Complete Collection.
You know when you try and say these, titles in Japanese, it just sounds a lot harder. I swear, I'm just gonna say that much. Because remember, originally these titles were in Japanese. And it's Gatchaman Crowds Blu-ray Complete Collection and DVD Complete Collection.
How DVD Blu-ray.
Junjo Romantica Season 1 DVD Collection Lightbox. Oh, right, that series. I know what that series is. A friend of mine talked about it a lot.
Indeed. Love Live School Idol Project Blu-ray Season 1 Premium Edition.
Stella Women's Academy High School Division Class C3 DVD Complete Collection.
I have no idea what that is.
I don't know. We can always click on it.
I'm looking. Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now because I'm like, wait, what is this? This seems kind of weird.
Oh, it's got Girl with a Gun. Ooh.
I see.
Wait, I think that one. Ooh, I want to check it out.
Yeah, well, let's go ahead and talk about the manga releases. We have Alice in the Country of Clover, Knight's Knowledge, Volume 2.
Bleach Volume 25 to 27 Omnibus.
The Centaur's Life Volume 4.
Dawn of the Arcana Volume 13.
Dragon Ball Volumes Omnibus 16 through 18.
Library Wars Love and War Volume 12.
Mayo Chiki Volume 7.
Midnight Secretary. Okay, this is a wait. What?
It's porn. It's not really. It's
why do they keep listing as that? I don't get it.
Well, because it does have nudity in it.
Yeah.
Anyway, what volume was it?
Volume 7. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Naruto volumes 25 through 26 omnibus.
New Lone Wolf and the Cub Volume 2.
Nisekoi False Love Volume 5.
Noragami Stray God Volume 1.
One Piece Volume 72. I thought that one was new.
Phantom Thief Jan Volume 4.
Jean. It's French.
Jean. Oh, yeah.
Pokemon Adventures Fire Red and Leaf Green Volume 24.
Pokemon Adventures Ruby and Sapphire Box Set 3 containing Volumes 15 to 22.
Mm-hmm. Pokemon Black and White Box Set containing Volumes 9 through 14.
Rama 1 half, Volume 7, 8 Omnibus.
Yep, Seraph of the Ed, Volume 2.
Skip Beat, Volume 33.
A Strange Kind of Woman, Volume 2.
Moving on from that. Time Killers, Kazue Kato Short Story Collection.
What Did You Eat Yesterday, Volume 4.
Yu-Gi-Oh! 5D, Volume 6.
Zero's Familiar, Chevalier, Volume 2.
And for other releases, we have Danganronpa Danganronpa 2, Goodbye Despair for the PlayStation Vita game.
We have Hato for Boyfriend PC game.
Oh, I think that's actually on Steam. That's actually on Steam, isn't it? Yes, it is.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's one of those Steam games, and I have not played it.
Yeah.
Anyways, and Warriors Orochi 3 Ultimate for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PlayStation 3, PlayStation Vita game. Oh, that means Tecmo Koei sell their stupid thing with Capcom. Thank
Good. Yeah. Good. Well, yep. All right, what else do we have?
Okay, other news. Speaking of copyright issues, Sega also has copyright complaints against High School Girl manga. Why? Because a virtual fighter character appeared in the series before permission was granted. Now, I'm going to assume that there was some F-ups here and there, but I'm just going to assume that this is why I would think that they probably went to get permission, but someone was very virtually stupid or lazy or forgot, and this has caused an uproar, if I'm going to say. Anyways, yeah, that sort of sucks for Square Enix. Again, you know, they have to deal with SNK and stuff. Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. Indeed. That series is never going to get a chance at them.
Yeah.
It's a video game. It's a video game manga series too, about focusing on the arcades. So let's see.
Yeah.
Okay. What's next? I'm sure everybody figures out. But of course, Hunter manga hiatus continues until further notice. Why? Because Togashi's back pain.
Yes, and we will assume that is that continues to be the reason.
Yeah, well, I'm just going to say a back pain is pretty bad because when you're on a computer sitting down a lot and you end up punching over and you don't move around as much and it just, you know, at some point you go, oh my god, my back hurts. Yeah, it's happened to me a few times. Trust me, it's not good.
It's
not good. Okay, more news. The Seven Deadly Sins gets a one-shot in Nakayoshi Magazine for Girls.
Yay.
That's nice. How are we going to read that? Anyways, the story of the one-shot will revolve around Meliodas, who has to save Elizabeth when she's captured by bandits. Okay.
We'll have to see, whether we find that. I imagine Crunchyroll will probably get it.
Okay, so, apparently, I'm saying apparently because you never know, Berserk Manga's next chapter will be slated for September 26th. The next chapter will be back on the 26th.
Okay, that's good, I guess.
Oh, there was something I remember. I think it was a dream. I can't remember, but whatever.
I guess people want to know how that manga ends.
And
yeah, so keep going. finish
and
it.
And one last bit of news. Hiromashima is going to run the 400 Fairy Tail chapter. Of course, we know that. That'll be for next week. And a one-shot manga, which is called Hoshigami no Satsuki.
Mm.
It will revolve around a magic sword and the strongest protagonist. Strongest, yeah, I think we have plenty of that. I still say Saitama's the strongest protagonist, even though he's just a joke character in his own way. Clearly.
Yeah, it's... well, I don't know.
Well, considering it's Mashima, I wonder if he's going to stick to his ecchi roots here.
You know. Probably, yes.
Yeah. So, we'll see, we'll see.
I don't know.
I mean, the first one didn't really have it. The first chapter fairy didn't have it until like a while later on.
Yeah, I am kind of... Yeah, I am a bit curious to see what he does with this. The 400th Fairy Tale chapter one-shot. Hmm.
It'll be interesting if this was actually... Okay, it's a Japanese-style epic fantasy, but it'd be fun if this had a connection to Fairy Tale, and this actually ends up being that so-called sword that Kagura was using, because it says magic sword. Yeah, I'd be like, oh, that's just funny. I had a feeling.
I would find that curious.
It is a one-shot. It'd be pretty funny, though.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll kind of see what happens.
Yep.
But
okay.
Yeah, so that's good news. Good news. Let's see. Do we have anything else?
No. That's it for then. For now.
Okay. Cool. In that case, let's go ahead and move on to our discussion about the about this week's manga volumes. And
yes.
We have. Okay.
Which one do we go through?
Yep, to start off with, let's go ahead and start off with Nisekoi, Volume 5.
Okay.
And this one's actually really useful because I actually just recently watched these, equivalent episodes in the anime.
Oh, nice.
And so, yeah, we get the continuation of Roku and Marika's date, find out that she is... someone that he does actually realize she's someone he knew before. He just didn't notice because she was talking all fancy like. She was talking like she was a proper lady, when in fact she should have been talking more like this. It's more like what her real... No, that's not actually what she sounds like.
I'm not gonna lie, but I kind of like Southern girls a bit.
Yeah, but still, it's like, you know, he realizes, hey, you know... She gets pissed about him, about it, because he's completely forgotten about her. And she's like, you done totally forgot me? It's like, he's like, wait, did you hear a voice just now? Don't, it's like.
Don't make me get my pitchfork, Raku.
Don't tell me you done gone and completely forgot me. I know you ain't telling me you done totally forgot me. I've been carrying around memories of you for 10 years, and you're telling me you done and totally forgot me? I know that's not what she actually sounds like, you know?
She's speaking in a Kansai accent, basically what she's doing.
But it is really amusing how we do kind of have a relative comparative to, you know, to that accent.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it is quite entertaining. And so I do kind of wish she talked more like that more often because it's hilarious, but... Nonetheless, so she reveals that, you know, that she, Raku, Chitoge, and Onodera all knew each other 10 years ago, but none of them have any idea what's going on.
No idea.
Yep, and then Marika takes Raku to go see her dad, who is a police chief and looks absolutely terrifying, but he's an alright guy. And, yeah, and then, let's see, after that... Let's see what happens next. Oh, yeah, we have the chapter where Ichijo goes to work at Onodera's family store. And it's pretty hilarious. Onodera's mom is a riot and is also... realizes that Ichijo is actually really, you know, actually a pretty good, you know, cook or pâtissier, as they say. And she's like, oh, hey, you know, you're welcome to marry my daughter. And that was amusing.
Yep.
And yeah, and so it is kind of funny this how this chapter shows that, oh yeah, if they were working together in a you know, in a sweets shop, they'd totally make a good team, because even though Onodera is an absolutely terrible cook. She knows how to make the food look good.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just combine someone that does that makes it good with someone that knows how to actually cook, and then boom. And then, of course, the dream of every teenage boy, there's a storm, and so he's stuck there.
Yep.
And, yep, they end up having a heart-to-heart discussion, etc. And, yeah, so he's a good chapter.
And then the storm got tired of it and left.
They, yeah.
Yeah, see, the the typhoon got tired of your shit, too, guys.
Yep. And, yeah, and then... I like the way the chapter ends on that story. It's like, I was really brave today. I bet Ruri will be proud as she's sleeping there. And then, let's see, and then we begin summer break, and then we get a chapter that wasn't in the anime, so this one I had to reread to remember it, but it is, yeah, it's the beginning of the chapters where Claude just leaves something dangerous laying around. And,
oh, they didn't have any anime?
No, they didn't.
Yeah. I don't want to focus on
Sugumi. It was also kind of funny how Claude still thinks that she's a guy. He's like, Claude, have you noticed this ribbon? He's like, ah, yes, I understand. The mistress gave it to you. That's very loyal of you to wear it every day. And she's just like, you're an idiot.
I feel like Claude's been confused by Final Fantasy VII. Inside
yeah.
joke there.
Yeah, and... Then they all the others come over and they try out the lie detector, and of course it's used to embarrass Tsugumi and everyone. With like, oh, who do you have? It's like, do you have a boyfriend or do you have someone you like? Who's the prettiest girl? And it's all hilarious and
Shu for the best.
Yeah, I did love Shu's because it's like he starts off with, let's see, Zonoderas, and she was like, is your cup size at least a C, or is it smaller? And she starts answering. He's like, you don't have to answer that. And, yeah, and then, let's see, Tsugumi gets it again, and of course, Shu is like, tell me once and for all, is your bra cup at least size E, yes or no? And...
seriously, and then Ruri just punches him.
Yeah, you just got like his serious face, but like out of the corner, Ruri's already punching him.
Stop and punch.
And of course, Tsugumi's like, of course they're not that big, and the lie detector goes crazy. and everyone's like, whoa. So, and God love the reactions. Chitoga's like, wait, what, for real? And Marika is all, it's okay, mine are too, and I'm like, sure they are. And then, of course, you end the chapter with her, you know, with her going on about, is holding him as like, I like Roku Ichijo, and it turns out that she was telling the truth, but then it turns out that the thing was actually unplugged. And so she smashes it.
It wasn't beat loudly.
Yep. And then we get another. And then we get another chapter that wasn't in the anime.
Oh, it wouldn't be at all.
Yeah. Well, we get another chapter that's in the that's not in the anime. It's the chapter where they find a stray dog, and the dog the little puppy loves everyone except for Chitoge. And it's a really cute chapter because it's basically showing how the puppy gets along with everyone except whenever Chitoge tries to get close to it, it bites her. But then they start to get closer, and finally it gets to the point where, you know, Chitoga is like, oh, you know what, I know nobody else could take you in, but maybe I'll take you in now that we're getting along. But then...
I guess the anime can't animate everything. I mean, these chapters were kind of considered filler anyway.
They were a bit fillerish, but there's some of the chapters that are... some of the better chapters of Nisekoi. I think that's why the anime was not as good, was because it focused too much on the story-centric chapters, and those aren't the good chapters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the good chapters are the ones that are, you know, just the funny little chapters in between the story chapters. But yeah, we end this one with the dog's owner, the puppy's owner actually finding it. Turns out that, you know, it managed to, it ran away when the owner wasn't watching. And so you end up with Chitoge being absolutely devastated because she really liked the dog. And then they go to get ramen, and Chitoge eats all of the ramen.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's see.
The festival one's next?
Yep, we got the festival next, and that one's basically comes down to Chitoge and Raku at the festival doing festival games, and Raku being an absolute champ at them. And then they go because he wants to get this love charm, which is said to be 100% effective. Ends up running into Onodera and some of the other girls, and then he gets the charm, but it looks like a cat steals the charm, and he has to chase after it, and it puts him into very awkward situations with all the other girls, and it is humorous. It is very humorous, and then, yeah, so we got that chapter, and then we've got the beach chapter, where they all go to the beach, and it's fan service time, but not as much in the manga as it was in the anime. Oh, good lord, the fan service in the anime.
I am not going to watch that.
There were sound effects.
I'm assuming they start with a B and end with a G.
Yes. And
that's not even a word, though. Is it?
Yeah, and pretty much, it's just... Yeah, it was pretty shameless, especially how, you know, a lot of the shots were just focused on their chests, and I'm like... Guys, what are you doing? The manga didn't focus on this as much. You're giving it a bad name. Stop that. But, yeah. And, of course, there's the obligatory off-screen groping of one girl to the other. And, of course, it's Tsugumi is the one who gets groped because, of course. It's, yeah. You really gotta feel bad for Tsugumi most of the time. But, let's see, yeah. I like how Marika tries to get Raku to, you know, apply sunscreen, but he's like, oh, wait, have Honda do it. It's like, oh, starting today, I'm afraid Honda has a terrible aversion to sunscreen. And it's like, how convenient. But yeah, so they end up doing a barbecue for dinner, and then there's a... having their close moments, and suddenly the mic got a lot louder.
The mic cut off.
Oh, how much did we lose?
Just a tiny bit.
Oh, okay, yeah, because
I couldn't hear. I don't know if you heard it.
Oh yeah, that was weird. I think it just randomly. Yeah, it just randomly. I guess my connection died. But oddly enough, it's still recording it on the same file, so that's fine by me. Except geez, now the gain is messed up. Okay, there we go. Anyway, let's carry on. Interruption aside, yeah, we end it with Onodera really telling herself, "Yeah, I really do love him." And then so she says, "Can I kiss you?" And we end the chapter with Chitoge overhearing them. And yeah, so. That's where we end the chapter with the volume with the big cliffhanger of, oh my gosh, what's going to happen next? Good times. Good times.
Yeah, we'll see next volume.
Yeah, I know. This was a pretty fantastic, this was a pretty good volume, a pretty fantastic volume, I think. It was just, it had some of those good, really in-between just comedy chapters that really... That it really is a shame that they didn't make it into the anime, because they are totally worth it, because they are hilarious.
Well, how long was the anime in terms of episodes? 12 episodes, right?
25? Was it? Ah, jeez, I can't remember.
24? I don't know.
One sec, let me check my... Let me check my... let's see, home history, there we go.
How many seasons did
20.
It have?
They 20. It was just 20 episodes, actually.
20? Wow, they got cut short.
I know, right? It's kind of annoying, but what the hey. Yeah, so... so we get that. Okay.
I don't think we get a second season for a while, or even ever.
Well, it doesn't seem like it did all that well overall. Which is a shame, because it really could have been good if they had focused on the right stuff. But this is about the manga, not the anime.
About the manga, yes, the manga.
Yeah,
the manga was decent. It was good. It had some funny moments. I especially like Shu's moments the best, because they're just
oh yeah
ridiculous. like the part of the festival where it just shows it, like, ah, we got rejected for like the 96th time or something. I was like, wow, this guy's still going strong.
Indeed, yeah. And of course, I like the, I enjoy the constant pairing up of Shu and Ruri. Even though it, you know, it isn't shown that either of them have feelings for each other. It just, the manga likes to have them be, you know, put little hints that, oh, it's going to be these two, mostly because it's freaking hilarious. So, it's kind of like how Shu decides, oh, hey, I'm going to hit on this babe at the festival, and then it turns out to be Ruri. And you don't see what happens next, but you can imagine. It doesn't take a genius to imagine what happens next.
Yeah. So,
yeah. It was pretty fantastic. I quite enjoyed it.
Well, I gotta say that episode, the chapter with the love charm part, I think that's gonna really affect Chitoge from the way her reactions were at the end of that little arc.
Well, yeah, we'll see. We'll see as we continue discussing the volumes.
And yes.
Yep, so for now, I think, shall we carry on and talk about Ranma 1/2?
Oh, yeah, that one.
Yep, Ranma 1/2, Omnibus number 4, containing volumes 7 and 8. And there's a lot of content in here, so we won't get into too much depth, but let's see, let me just give a rundown. Nudity.
Abosai appears?
Yep, and
I mean we can't give all the we can't say everything. We just say all the importance of that we can focus on the most. Hoppasai appears.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we start off with the Ramen race.
Yeah.
Which interesting fact. I might do a little comparison between the anime and manga. In the manga here, it's a race between girl Ranma and Shampoo. However, interestingly enough, and I don't know why they did this, in the anime they introduced a new character. For this specific story, for the ramen race.
I don't remember who she is.
She was just a random character that's like, you know, another one of the fiancés that never showed up again. Mm. And so it was... Yeah, it was interesting. It's interesting comparing the two, especially that in the anime it doesn't involve Kuno in any way.
Weird. But good.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what the deal is. I mean, they completely rewrote that story. And so it's very weird how it's a completely different story, but yeah. Continuing, yeah.
So, Hoppasai was introduced.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's just say that Hoppasai is unanimously the most hated thing about this series, besides possibly the ending. Like, every fan agrees that Hoppasai is the worst thing ever. And yeah, we get his introductory chapter, and we quickly see why, because he's incredibly strong. The parents are afraid of him, and he is freaking annoying as heck because he is constantly, you know, he's constantly groping women, stealing their underwear. He's pretty much the worst thing ever.
Yep.
Yeah, and, look, more nudity. That's the funny thing about this manga is that it's, like, just so casual with the nudity. It's not something you get nowadays. If this Ranma 1/2 were made nowadays, the nudity aspect of the story would have been immensely sexualized, you know?
Like, oh, boy.
It would have been done in, like, you know, all these awkward situations of, she is not wearing any clothes. Is that not so sexy?
However, the series is done by a woman, so that's me a little bit different in that case.
That doesn't mean women can't be perverts, but
I have not seen. Show me a manga where there's a woman that actually sexualizes women in her manga.
I don't know. Kazue Kato and Blue Exorcist with what's her face.
I suppose, but that's still not. Okay, fine.
I mean, it's not like she's constantly falling down with her legs spread or whatnot, like some absolutely shameless manga do. But still, that's Shura wears is pretty heavily sexualized just by virtue of the fact that the clothes that she wears are not the clothes that anyone would normally wear, or at least, well, then again, if you were in a place like, you know, that has beaches a lot, I could see women walking around with jeans and a bikini top more, but I grew up in
California.
Yeah, I grew up in places that were cold. That did not happen. So, yeah.
I don't go out much.
You should, Mr. California.
No, the sun's going to kill me. I told you, the sun's going to murder me. Anyways,
yeah.
Back to Rama one half.
Yes, basically with all the Hapo-Sai introductions, it is pretty much a constant, you know, oh, look, Hapo-Sai with all these different characters, and Hapo-Sai being annoying, but entertaining in certain ways. And yeah, so it's basically for, let's see. Yeah, we go to one of the better chapters involving him that has Hapo-Sai getting a condition where he is repulsive to women, which I'm like, he's already repulsive to women. What are you talking about? But yeah, without being able to touch women, he is dying, so they're going to get rid of him, but then, you know, Ranma turns into a girl and Hapo-Sai manages to recover. And let's see, yeah. You continue the fighting, continues more fighting. Then, finally, we kind of get after that, and then we get to, let's see, what was the next part? That's right, let's see, the Dojo Destroyer.
That's funny.
Oh yeah, that's weird. It's like there was a... Wait, did they... Oh yeah, they combined the Dojo Destroyer with the... Oh hey, turn, the Nanichuan powder water.
The Spring of Drowned Man.
Yeah, which ends up with Drama's trying to get... Which is interesting that in the anime, again, that was a separate episode. You know? It completely separates that and the Dojo Destroyer from each other.
Oh.
Which, it kind of, or at least I swear it did, I can't remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure it did, but it's kind of interesting because it, you know, in the original manga here, it gives a reason for why Ranma isn't there to help Akane. Oh. But ultimately he ends up coming in and helping her, and they defeat the Dojo Destroyer, and Ranma manages to get the power, but it doesn't last. And so, yeah, which is pretty hilarious. And then we get the Romeo and Juliet storyline, which takes quite a while, and it's basically Ranma and Akane are chosen to be Romeo and Juliet, and you end up, and Ranma ends up taking the role, because he doesn't want any of the others to take it, and be in a romantic scene with Akane, but Ranma can't remember his lines. It's just like, he gets up onto the balcony, everyone's like, aren't they supposed to talk? It's a dramatic pause, you dolt. Oh, you can just feel their love for each other. And Akane's like, oh, Romeo, did you learn your lines? He's just like, nope. And it is quite possibly one of the more hilarious interpretations of Romeo and Juliet, because you got constant interfering, everyone trying to get them to kiss, them not wanting to. And
I swear, Ghost and Kuji is just disturbing.
Yeah, and you got Ranma who refuses to kiss Akane, and then, you know, you get through, she gets angry, he ends up coming in as Juliet, incapacitates the others, and ends up coming back as Romeo, and Akane is pissed, but then he's, you know, you finally get the big scene where he's meant to kiss her as she's laying there dead, and Akane's like, is it really that hard to kiss me, and is like, do you hate me so much? And he's like, no, if I didn't care, this wouldn't be so hard. Which, yeah, is a good sign. Yeah, you know, it is pretty much, you know, it is a very good point. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, sure, he's constantly, you know, refusing. But, you know, if he didn't care, then it would be a lot easier. Mm-hmm. But, and then, of course, she uses the tape over the mouth trick, which is hilarious. And then we cut to another Ryoga story where he, let's see, which one was this again? Oh yeah, it's the one where they're trying to find the Japanese Spring of Drowned Man.
Japanese Spring of Drowned Man.
Yeah. And that's another one that I remember from early on in the, from early on in the anime, one of the longer, slightly longer stories. And of course, as much Ranma taking advantage of Ryoga and, tricking him, much Ryoga and Ranma fighting, Ranma getting in trouble, trying to break into the girls' locker room because that's apparently where the spring is. And then, yeah, so they finally manage, to get it and break the ground, and that's, they're just like, oh, the Nanichuan was really here. And then Ranma gets a message saying that, oh, thank you for your continued patronage. Unfortunately, the Japanese Nanichuan has closed. Please visit the original Nanichuan at Yuzankyo in mainland China. And he's like, what is this, a bathhouse? And then, of course, then the janitor comes and is like, who broke the water main? And it's hilarious. But, yep. And, yeah, so that ends that. Yep, that ends the volume. So, well, the two volumes. This is a long one. But, yeah, so, Mo, as a first-time reader of Ranma 1/2, what did you think of these chapters?
Let's see. Well, I gotta admit, finally when Opposite appeared, I was like, oh my goodness, where this guy appears.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, I remember this in the anime, because, I've seen the anime first before I read the manga, so I make a lot of comparisons. Sorry, folks, but this is how it works for me. And, a lot of these chapters I couldn't remember. I only remember Opposite most, and I do remember the Romeo part. I'm not sure that I saw the anime version of it, but that was just weird, because when I was reading, I was like, wait a second, Romeo arc in here? What the heck? I'm like remembering, what other series did I read that had a Romeo arc?
Yeah.
We're gonna get to that. What was it? We're gonna get to that, yeah.
Yeah, we'll be getting to that in a bit.
So yeah, and yeah, it was pretty fun. I say, Abusai is like you just said, he is the one that everybody just hates.
He is, yeah, he's pretty bad. He's pretty much the worst. And so, but yep, and yeah, I have to say that the funnest thing about reading this is that a lot of the, reading here, this was actually the first time that I've read through it. Most of my manga reading was picking up after the, picking up where the anime left off or where I stopped watching the anime. And so a majority of it is in the later volumes, like, from the very end and then a couple back from that. And so a lot of these early chapters I had not read because I'd watched them in the anime, so I didn't really have any reason to read them. But I got to, getting to them, it really is interesting seeing the difference between the manga and the anime, just because it does look like the anime was, it was made back when they, took liberties with adaptations and they made some pretty drastic changes, which I thought was quite interesting overall. Just in general, just going back from this is the version that I first experienced and then experiencing what it was actually originally meant to be like. I just thought that was quite curious, you might say,
Oh.
And
When I found that we were going to read these omnibus, I was expecting, oh, wait, is this mean omnibus where my favorite character appears? Like, damn, not yet.
I do have to say the interesting thing about these chapters is that Ranma 1/2 is still freaking hilarious.
Yeah, it actually is.
I mean, it's there's a reason it's considered a manga classic, because it is just absolutely hilarious. And granted, while it is one of the ones that does fall into the, oh, great, they're still at it, tropes of
the characters. At least they have martial arts in this one.
It is true. They do have that, and that is one of the advantages that Ranma 1/2 has, is that it's in a better position to tell better stories because it has more options, essentially. With Nisekoi, which, as we've mentioned, has some pretty strong similarities to Ranma 1/2, the similarities between it and, just the similarities with Ranma 1/2 and it are there, but with Nisekoi, it really does not quite have as many stories as it can tell per se. I mean, it focuses a lot more on the development of this, of the, yeah, it really is. It does focus more on the development of the main story, which Ranma One Half doesn't really do. With Nisekoi, I'm sure you have some in-between chapters, but the focus is on the story and character-related chapters, the ones that continue the characters' stories. Whether it be finding out what happened in the past versus developing the characters. With Ranma One Half, there's really not much. As nearly as much character development, and the main focus is on the comedy and folk and the just the one-off stories that are being told.
We can definitely learn something from your brain rather than have. That's all I can say.
That is certainly true.
Plot. So yeah, and also the thing about these plays is because it's in this era where where we the readers, and including the younger ones, are a lot more. What's the word? More. They've been exposed to many of the other so-called tropes these days now, and it just gets really hard to try and do the same thing over and over. So it has to change up every once in a while. And it's really hard to keep a series going that long. I mean, One Piece got lucky to start in 1997, and these guys started like 2000 what?
Recently, like 2013, I think. Or was it 2012? It may have been around 2012, I think.
2012?
Was it? I'm not sure.
I'm
I
not
haven't
sure.
looked recently.
Well, it has about 130-ish chapters, and each chapter generally goes for about like 50 up for about a year. So, yeah, about 2 years and almost a half now.
Yeah,
Wow.
I do. Yeah, but anyway, I
Probably
think,
2011.
yeah, I think that does about that. That does that. For next week, we have the Seven Deadly Sins Volume 4.
Okay.
And remind me, did we go over Attack on Titan Volume 12 or 11? I mean,
I think we did 11. Let me check.
I think we did because, yeah, we did because it's back on my bookshelf. So,
It's back on your bookshelf. If it's back in your bookshelf, that means that then we've already done it.
yeah, it
Let me
pretty
get
much
some.
does. Yeah, so I think for next week, what we might do, we
Yeah, it's
may.
12. We need to do 12.
Okay, yeah, I think considering that a new volume of, let's see, actually, next week, let's see, I don't think we have any new releases. Well, as we are recording this, the Seven Deadly Sins volume is already out, so we'll need to go pick that up. But then the next releases are on the 16th, which is not next week, no, or at least I don't think it is. But let me look at a calendar quickly here. Let's see, calendar, and then go via month. Oh, that is next week on Tuesday. Two releases then, and then the next one on. Okay, there we go. All right, I see what we're doing. Okay, so for next week, we will be discussing Seven Deadly Sins Volume 4, which was released on the 9th. And
Okay.
for the week of the 15th, we'll discuss Seven Deadly Sins Volume 4. For the week of the 27th, we will be discussing Genshiken Second Season Volume 5 and Terraformars Volume 2, which was released on the 16th. Then for the week of the 29th, we'll be discussing volumes 12 and 13 of Attack on Titan because there are no releases that week. Or at least, yeah, no, there are no releases that week because you got the 16th, there was a release. The week of the 22nd, there's no release. The next release is on the 30th of September, which is Fairy Tail Volume 42. So, yeah. So that's what with so that will be our plan. We'll be the Seven Deadly Sins next week, Genshiken and Terraformars the following week, and then the week after that, we'll go ahead and do two volumes of Attack on Titan since that won't be hard to get take care of. And so, yeah, we'll go ahead and do that. All right, for now, let's go ahead and take a little break, and we will be right back with the manga commentary. It's time for the chapter commentaries for Weekly Shonen Jump number 41. And starting off, we have a brand new series. It's called Judos, and it is about Judo.
It's judo without the S. I mean, judo with the S.
Yeah. So this one's kind of, you know, this one's kind of, it's a straightforward first chapter. You know the type where you start off with whatever the topic matter is. If it's a martial arts, you start off with someone that's really good at the martial arts, but they're kind of, you know, but they seem like they're a bit of a jerk, so they need their comeuppance. And then you have the main character shows up, and he turns out he is so much better at the martial arts, and then he wins. And that's basically what happens here.
And he's younger, too, for some reason.
Yeah.
Golly.
Yeah, that's what's kind of, it's interesting. I don't think I've seen that many judo, you know, manga. But what's kind of funny is the whole premise is that the main character, what's his name again?
Ukita? I mean, I'm kidding.
No, Hana. Yeah, it's like the main character, Hana, is from this village in the mountains that they are the best at judo. And I'm kind of thinking, it seems kind of weird because, I mean, judo is a sports version of jiu-jitsu, which I don't really buy this, you know, traditional Japanese village hidden in the mountains that practices judo. It's like, judo is like the sports version of this martial arts. Wouldn't you be more jiu-jitsu or, I don't know, it's kind of weird. But, yeah, I do have to say that I like this chapter. I did get a laugh out of, what's her face? The reporter lady who
Yuki.
Is, yeah, who's an absolute massive pervert. It's just like, you know, it's so rare to see the pervert character be a woman, you know?
Yep.
And she's constantly drooling, literally drooling over Hana, and it's kind of hilarious, you know? And let's see, and then, yeah, so we've got her and her senior who they're, you know, they do report on sports. And so I guess they're going to be our Komatsu for the chapter, for the series.
Who?
Komatsu, you know, filling the role that Komatsu plays in Toriko.
Oh, wait, who's going to be Komatsu in this one?
The two reporters.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because like they're, you know, they're basically the character that's, you know, I'm the regular character, and I'm the one that's following around providing a sense of perspective. In this world of crazy martial artists. And I have to say, I really like the fight between Hana and Ida. It's because they do a really good job of just showing, you know, just making judo, which you don't normally think of as being the most exciting of martial arts, seem really exciting, you know? Because usually when you think martial arts, you think the punching and the kicking. But with this one, it's, you know, it really does make just the throwing around of people, which when you think about it, is actually really exciting. They make it even more exciting by upping the ante with manga. Because I think that's part of the problem why a lot of martial arts manga don't go with judo. Because a lot of times they end up with characters that are so insanely powerful that just throwing them around doesn't really do much, you know?
Well, Ukita can actually fit in here, you know that?
What?
I forget it.
No, I mean, they are, you know, superhumanly strong in this manga, but I'm talking
about...
I know,
that's why I just said that.
But I'm talking about, you know, like, say, for example, could you imagine the Dragon Ball Z characters doing...
No, duo? That's cheating.
You know, I mean, but, you know, in general, with a lot of the martial arts manga that... You know, where you have characters that are so tough that just throwing them to the ground really doesn't do anything.
Good point.
And although I'm not really sure, if someone can stand being thrown to the ground, you'd think they'd be able to take a punch, but apparently not. But still, the martial arts in this was absolutely fantastic, and we get a really good setup for what's to come. With this whole, there's going to be a competition, and we get these, like, snapshots of the other competitors, one of which has like a sort of crescent moon scar on his back, another one which looks kind of normal, another one that has freaking sharp teeth for some reason.
Yeah, the sharp teeth, I was like, whoa.
Some hermit in a cave, housewife that looks like she's like 7 feet tall, and then a midget.
Yep.
But
wait, what?
Yeah, there's a midget. I don't know, yeah. Okay. I'm basing the housewife being 7 feet tall off of the color spread in the beginning, where I'm pretty sure that's who it is, and she's in the background, and yet she's towering over everyone else that's in the foreground. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I kind of see, whoa.
Yeah, I am a curious by what we are given here. This does a really good job of showing us, hey, look, we're going to do judo. Look at how awesome the judo is. Here's our main character. He's all right. I don't know. I don't really have anything particular to say about him. I was a little distracted by what's-her-face and her drooling, and her pretty boy fetish.
Same here.
Which she kind of stole the chapter as far as characters go. But yeah. Then it also promises the, it promises the sort of typical lineup of colorful characters, and I'm very curious to see where we're going with this. And so, all right, well, yeah, did you have anything to add about it?
Well, it's an interesting series, I mean, to do the manga, that I wonder how far over the top it's going to go with, because it's judo, and you can't do much of judo unless you start going over the top with anything in general.
Well, yeah, but they seem to be going pretty over the top already, you know?
It probably gives like some sort of like, was it not visual, but like, you know how Shokugeki no Soma does it? Like, maybe. I'm not saying like that, but.
I don't know. Honestly, my prediction is that somebody is going to be judo thrown onto the moon.
Figuratively, not literally.
No. I mean literally.
All right. We can make a bet on that.
If this series ends up lasting, it will get to the point where someone judo throws someone into the moon.
Or the sun. But then they would die in the sun, so it wouldn't.
Oh, yeah, maybe the big villain. But, Well, anyway, that was that. Let's move on to Naruto chapter 691. Which, it was an okay chapter, you know? It was everyone saying goodbye, Kakashi saying goodbye to Obito, what's-his-face saying goodbye to Madara, talking mm-hmm. about the same stuff they'd been talking about forever, but fortunately now Madara is dead, thank goodness. And then Naruto says goodbye to his dad, and it turns out it was actually Naruto's birthday, which I don't think anyone actually knew that.
Nope.
And he's just like, oh, okay. And so he's basically saying about, oh, hey, you don't need to worry about me. Tell Mom, you don't need to worry about me. And I kind of love the line here. But about Ma telling me to find someone like her, I don't know. That's, anyways. Would you want to bet that that the shippers went crazy at that line? You know, it was like, wait, what does it mean? Does it mean he doesn't want someone that's like his mom? Does that mean he's gotten over Sakura? Does that mean he wants Hinata instead? Or maybe someone could interpret it as, wait, he doesn't want someone like his mom? That means he wants Sakura, because she's nothing like his mom.
Because, totally okay.
Yeah. Shippers are crazy. I just happen
they are insane.
Yeah, you know, For the longest time when I was still blogging on my Blogspot account, I had I had this ongoing joke where I equated having an inner shipper as being the same as having an inner hollow. You know, like with each
other.
And that's, yeah, it's like I was once a hollow and I was once a shipping hollow, now I am a shipping Vizard, where most of the time, it doesn't bother me, but every once in a while, I can I can tap into the power of the shipper and think the way they think without going absolutely insane with wanting shipping to happen.
Good point.
It's a good power. But I mean, overall, it was a good chapter. I mean, I enjoyed it. I liked it. It was good.
Yeah. It was. Thank goodness Madara did.
Yes, thank goodness. I mean, yeah, it focused mostly on Naruto, which I thought was really nice. And it had some really touching moments, especially the moment at the end with his dad. So, it was nice. All right, shall we move on to Blue Exorcist Chapter 60?
Yeah, let's go on.
All right, so Blue Exorcista Chapter 60.
So yeah.
It was kind of interesting. It's basically the fight continues between Rin and what's his face, and then what's her name again?
Whose name? Rin versus who?
No,
She Shima?
not that one. I'm talking about the other one, which geez, shows how much I care about this series. No,
Yeah, I totally.
what's her face? That's taking in the demon, the nine-tailed demon,
Izumo
Izumo. Yeah.
Kamiki?
That's the one, yeah. Yeah, so she's basically being overpowered by the Nine Tails, and she's sad that she is going to lose everyone, and then she cries for help, and Rin jump breaks through the wall or the ceiling and comes in, and yay, come to save the day.
You know, it's friendship power.
Yeah, it was an all right chapter. I mean, I enjoyed it overall. But I don't know. This series I've been recently with this series I've been a little about it. I
Well,
feel
it's more of this arc for me, actually.
yeah, this arc, I mean, there were some parts previously that I was a little about. I think the problem with Blue Exorcist is that it did a lot focusing on the relationships between the characters, but now it's I don't know, it doesn't seem like it's doing it as much, or it's focusing on characters I don't really care about as much.
That's what it is for me, actually.
And so that makes it kind of difficult to really enjoy this, I'm a little bit tired of the stereotype of the I don't like any of you jerks. Oh, look, this big terrible moment for me is happening. I actually cared about you all along. I'm sick and tired of that character
I don't like men. Oh,
trait.
wait, this guy's had to treat me nicely. Maybe we aren't that bad. Well, okay, it's fine, but then just when you just start with, I don't like men, I get tired of that.
That's not even what we're talking about,
I
but fair
know, but
enough.
it's still close enough to what we're talking about.
Not really, but anyway, it's no, this is well, this one's a lot more common what I'm talking about, and I'm really tired of the trope, so it's really hard for me to be invested in this at the moment. So
I never liked the Izumo, to be honest. I don't
yeah.
know. I guess she has her reason why for being the way she is, but it just irritates me. It
Yeah.
irritates me. But yeah, the nice thing about this chapter is that for those who still can't be sure whether Shima is actually good guy or double agent or something, he kind of just pretty much maybe just said that yeah, he is on the side of the other guys from the
Yeah.
looks of it.
Yeah,
Oh, well, let's see what Subaru has to say about that.
we'll see. Excuse me. All right, so I think it is time for us, whoops, to move on.
Yeah.
Assassin. Yeah, sorry, I was pulling up the one of the things to have it, but then I got distracted. All right, there we go. All right, back to where we were. All right, we are now going to talk about One Piece chapter 759. We've got the cover where, for some reason, the Jinbe saved the ship and was able to save it without it breaking apart again. Not entirely sure how that happened. But
Ships don't. Well, yeah.
it shouldn't be floating anymore. Jinbe's going to be there stuck for a while. But yeah, so with Sugar defeated, we've got all those toys get turned back into men, and the reason they were so much larger is because they were eight people in one.
Oh.
And you've got Gladius has a funny moment where he's like, Sugar's out again? So he's like, darn that girl. And then the soldier's like, oh man, that was terrifying. I was afraid we'd be toys for the rest of our life. And he says, of course not. When the battle was over, you'd have been returned to your proper bodies. And everyone's like, oh, of course. That's a relief. And Gladys is like, I can't tell them that we'd all forgotten they existed.
It even works on them. It's hilarious.
Yeah, the henchmen tend to be of a particularly stupid variety in One Piece.
Clearly.
And yeah, so. Right, and then we got the confrontation between Luffy and Doflamingo, and yeah, Bellamy's been beaten up pretty bad. Luffy doesn't like this because they're friends now because he's forgiven Bellamy for being a douche nozzle before. and then Luffy tries kicking Doflamingo, but Doflamingo pulls a Luffy in Arlong Park and just uses Bellamy as a shield, and Luffy kicks him right in the face.
Ouch.
He's just got like the Bellamy's face there. He's just like, why? And yep, so then we get into the actual fight with one of Doflamingo's clones attacking Law. Luffy trying to attack Doflamingo, but he ends up fighting Bellamy, who's being controlled. And then they pull off a really cool trick where Luffy is about to attack Law, and Treble is like, he's going to attack Law. And Doflamingo's like, wait a minute. And then Law uses Room, and Doflamingo is like, crap. And, yeah, Law teleports Luffy to right next to Doflamingo, and he just punches the crap out of him. In what is definitely one of the more satisfying One Piece punches, because Doflamingo has been such a cocky bastard this entire time, finally seeing someone land a blow on him is fantastic.
Yep.
And then Law cuts Treble to pieces, but chances are that Treble's okay if he is a Logia type. And so personally, I'd be like, I do not want to cut that guy. He will get sticky gunk all over my sword. And so, yep. And yeah, so that was a pretty fantastic chapter, I have to say. I was much a fan of it. What say you?
Yep, the payoff was worth it. The payoff was definitely worth it. After all that stuff.
Yeah, it did take a while to get to it, but yeah, I was a big fan of being able to, you know, of what we've seen here. And so, yeah, I mean, honestly, this was another fantastic One Piece chapter.
Mm-hmm.
All right, shall we do Nisekoi chapter 137?
Sure.
Chapter 137, Glad. Also, which is ironic because you've got the comparison, because you've got Sad in the previous chapter of One Piece. Or in this previous chapter right here, and now it's Glad. Yay.
Ironic.
Yep, where we find out how where we find out how Chitoge is going to be, you know, passing off as the princess, is by having the little one of the little translation apps in her phone there, and it translates what everyone is saying, and somehow she's able to understand it, but none of her servants or guards hear the phone in her pocket oh, wait a minute, she has an earbud, and never mind. I wasn't, at first I was
she
like,
has a what?
She has an earbud in.
Oh.
Little wireless earbud. At first I was like, wait, how is she doing
this?
Oh,
yeah, I see.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing like realizing something right as we're recording. Don't I feel like an idiot? But,
it's
yeah.
It's hard to know this, though. It's pretty small. I mean, it's earbud. What do you think?
Well, yeah, that is the point.
Headphones.
So,
headphones
well
are like, Princess, what are you wearing headphones for? I like music.
Yeah, totally.
Don't you know you'll damage your ears if you keep them on forever? No. I like music. Please don't take them off for me.
Yes, Mr. Non-Sequitur. Yeah, and then we get the... And then we have... She's treated to a fancy lunch. And she's does... You know, she's very... She uses her manners... she has great table manners, but she eats a ton of food. And all her guards and the maid lady or whatever is, wait, what's going on here? And then we continue, we have a scene between Raku and the princess, and they kind of, you know, you basically, they're having dinner and they're talking, and then they go to, let's see, they go to Raku's place, because she was wanted to see it, and then she finds out that his family is mafia, and she is absolutely over the hills, over the moon because of it, because she loves Japanese mafia movies.
Mm.
And it's funny, she's fanboying at them. It's like, may I take a picture? And they're like, but aren't you Mistress Kirisaki? And it's like, look, they gave me a used belly sash. I'll designate it a national treasure. And Rock was like, he's like, yuck, throw that away. And then they go, they get their fortunes, and yeah, Rocko gets a bad one. And then he just, yeah, she gets a good one, Rocko gets a bad one, so Rocko ties it where they're meant to dispel the bad fortune. And then, yep, and so, and then Princess Malusha asks him if he has, if Chitoge is his actual girlfriend. He's like, nah, we're just classmates, no point in pretending with her since she can't really tell anyone. And then it turns out she's glad of that. And so we've got yet another girl. I mean, this was pretty obvious in the
Yeah.
previous chapter, but yeah, we've got another girl that has a thing for Raku. But since this one will be going away, I'm kind of curious to see where it will be, where it will be going.
Maybe she'll transfer to school. I'll bet you that much.
That would be pretty hilarious, but I
We
highly
have a new
doubt it.
transfer student. Wait, what? The princess? What the heck?
If she does end up becoming a member of the main cast, then I'm not sure whether this is jumping the shark or an excellent twist. I'm not really sure how to f yeah, I'm not really sure how to feel
Yeah, I
about
don't.
that. Yeah, sorry, I'm a little distracted. The latest History's Strongest Disciple Kenichi chapter came out, and I'm trying really hard to read it while recording this episode.
Stop reading it. We're supposed to
No.
record, you fool.
Nah, screw you.
Priorities. Get your priorities in focus. Don't let
Yeah,
me snap my
yeah.
fingers.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's talk about Bleach chapter, son of a bitch, chapter 595.
Yeah, that.
Yep, so it's basically the creepy guy that takes control of people, keeps trying to take control of Byakuya. Byakuya dodges and he blocks it with his sword, and it's like, ah, you figured out that that I can't control my thing with anything that doesn't have a soul. Then why did you block it with your Zanpakuto? And you're just, Byakuya, you're an idiot.
Yep.
Yep. And then so is now what's his face? Hisagi has not only his own Zanpakuto, but Byakuya's Zanpakuto, and Byakuya is in trouble. And yeah, and then the what's his face releases his special form, whatever. I don't know why these guys have a special form. It's like there's no reason for it. But
Other
turns,
than to disgust us.
yes, there is a it is to disgust us. Because turns out that his special form has wings, like the others, I believe, and the only clothes he's wearing are armbands, boots, and a banana hammock.
He's wearing a diaper.
Yeah, pretty much. It's pretty
Okay, it's a
awful.
banana hand, but still,
This is quite possibly the worst thing that
I'm
I've ever
changing the
seen.
page right now. I'm changing. No, I'm
Yeah.
changing the page again. Oh, good, he got kicked in the face.
Yep, and then it turns out it was Kensei and Love have appeared, and what are these things on their eyes? Does this mean that they are being controlled by someone else? They seem to be helping Byakuya, so what is this, is this what, what's his, oh, jeez, what, Mayuri, yes,
Mayuri,
too many
closest being
characters.
Mayuri.
Is
No,
this,
I can remember the Shinigami. I can't remember the rest after
yeah.
that.
Yeah, it turns out that Mayuri may, well, is probably controlling them because of the stuff that they over their eyes. I don't know. Yeah, what do you think?
Please kill this love guy. No, I meant the other love guy, not the other one's already dead. Kill the other one. Please.
Yes, indeed. It, yeah. This was a very weird chapter. I think Kubo just doesn't give a crap anymore.
This is very disturbing, Cupid.
Yes, indeed. And well, let's move on to Toriko chapter 291. It always amazes
Yeah.
me how few chapters Toriko's actually had. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Yep.
surprising.
Basically, with the birth of the new Nightmare Herrick, it turns everyone all around the world can hear it. And you've got what's his face? Imaru. You've got Melk the second. And I love her. And I absolutely love her line because it's like, I heard that, Komatsu, along with the voice of your blade. It becomes a funny line if you assume that blade is a euphemism.
Yes, we get.
Yes. I'm sorry, but most of the manga that I read that involves swords, anytime I read the word sword or blade, I just, in my mind, assume it's a euphemism, and then the series is like 80 times more hilarious.
We can thank Sigmund Freud for that, actually.
Take it. Yes, Freud. And then, of course, Rin's entire contribution is blushing and saying Toriko. And then, what's her face? What is her face?
No,
that's it. I was thinking Momo? No, that's not right. But no, yeah. No. She's playing a slightly more subtle Rin in this case, in that she doesn't actually say Komatsu's name out loud. But, yeah. So, everyone gathers, and they see the fruit, and they're like, hey, let's eat the fruit, and the air, and it's, you know, it's basically like if you crossed a salad with a steak, basically, you know, is what it seems like. Because it's thick and heavy, but it's leafy like a salad.
Mm.
And then Toriko reacts to it, but it turns out the others don't react to it as much. But Toriko's eyesight becomes so good just being near it that it can see into space. And then they eat it, and Toriko reveals that this air will be his salad. Which is kind of hilarious, because I'm like, okay, you're only going to be able to eat it this one time, so are you ever actually going to be able to eat all of these foods at the same time, ever?
Good point.
Yeah, although what's really hilarious is when you... It's just like, you know, looking at his, looking at his list, he's got 3 meals left. But when you look at his, like, his dessert and his hors d'oeuvre, where it's like the rainbow fruit, which was one of the first items, like the second item, I think, he ever got, and he chose it as his dessert, it just seems underwhelming compared to all the other foods that are going to get. Because, like, Toriko has on his list air now, a legendary food. He has for his drink billion bird egg and a previously extinct animal. And he's got even Century Soup, which is kind of pushing it. It's still like this amazing thing. But then you're like freaking rainbow fruit and the BB corn.
It's well, like, the BB corn was for Terry.
Yeah, but Toriko has it on his hors d'oeuvre now because he's true. A glutton. But yeah, it's just, it seems like this and the next 3 items that are going to be on his list are going to so overwhelm the other items that it'd be like...
It's like... And for dessert, forget the rainbow fruit.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's kind of like, just imagine if someone has the best ribeye, or the best sirloin, or the best, just the best steak in the world as their main meat course, and then for their entree they have Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Hey! Don't diss my folk, I mean.
Mo. I'm just saying... It is, this is kind of hilarious because, you know, just that's the kind of, you know, that's the kind of difference that I see between the early choices and the later choices.
Well, we just gotta go back and read what the heck the rainbow fruit described as, and we can remember why he chose it.
Apparently it's really good, but still, it's like one of the early items that he got, so it feels a little underwhelming now.
Yeah.
Maybe Toriko will change his mind later about
some items. That'd be interesting, actually.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I do like the rainbow fruit, but this is much better as a dessert. And Toriko, are you really going to? Yeah, I am. Kicks it out and then replace it with a new dessert.
Yeah, it does kind of make you wonder, is like, you know, is once someone decides to put something on their full course menu, can they never take it off again? Is it like, this is the only time it's going to be, you know, this is the only time it's going to be, sorry, what am I even trying to say? It's like, once I've chosen, it's locked in, I can never change my mind. But what happens if at some point they decide, you know, I don't really like rainbow fruit anymore, but I already put it on there, so I can't take it off.
That's like creating a character for an MMO, and you can't really change it, otherwise you delete everything it's all over again.
Indeed.
That's horrible. But yeah, I have to say, it's. I mean, For actual recipes, you wouldn't stick to the same. Well, you wouldn't stick to the same recipe. You always like tinkle a bit, change it up a bit. And of course, a full course meal, you would not keep the same. You would change it up every once in a while too.
Yeah, I think. I mean, I understand the concept of having like this is my special full course meal, but at the same time, you think, you know, there's certain maybe you like a certain item that doesn't go well with another item that you eat that you like. So
remember the dual meat?
Which one are you gonna choose? Where are you gonna put this specific item? Are you gonna have to choose between the two items that you really like, but they don't go well together? You know, because I think with this, it's sort of like it's less this is a proper full course meal, and it's more these are my favorite items for these specific meals. You know, for these specific courses in a meal, and so it come and so because a full course. Like, you know, a multi-course meal has to be balanced. You know, there has to be a nice, you know, there are certain items that work together that don't, that may not work with others.
Yeah, you can't just eat anything with anything. It doesn't work that
Pretty
way.
Much,
yeah. You probably kill yourself if you try to eat something with something that doesn't, that isn't compatible with it.
Probably in the Toriko world, not so much in the real world.
No, in the real world, it kind of happens to me.
Figuratively killing yourself, not literally, unless you're eating fugu.
What the heck's fugu?
Pufferfish.
Ew. I would not touch that.
Yes. Anyway, let's move on to World Trigger, Chapter 74. And I really like this chapter. Just because,
Karasuma.
Karasuma, thank you. I was going to say Kyosuke, thank you very much.
I'm sorry, but, you know, they because the Japanese like to always recognize characters by their last names, except for One Piece.
Yeah.
Notice how One Piece doesn't do that. And also Naruto. Well, yeah, One Piece.
Yeah, it is always hilarious then when you got people that are reading it for the first time and they call Luffy Monkey in their review. And I'm just like, what translation did you read? Because everyone calls him Luffy. Nobody ever calls him Monkey. Did you actually read the series, or did you just look up his name and assume that that the name that came first was the one that he goes? I don't know.
Well, I've seen a few.
I've seen a few reviews like that. It's really weird. But that aside, this was a pretty tight chapter.
Yep.
The main bad guy, he manages to get away, and Kyosuke gets, you know, sniped, thanks to Mira's, you know, thingies, and he has to bail out. But still. His battle was freaking awesome.
You know, it's totally good because he actually understood that, hey, all I do is stall. I don't really have to win. I just have to fight as long as I can for however long Jin told me I'm supposed to be able to fight for, and then just do my thing. Because most characters are like, oh, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to fight for as long as I can. No, no, you can't. You'll lose badly. You got to fight for as long as you can and get out. Don't stay there and fight, you morons.
Indeed.
You know, other characters do that. Yeah. Not the ones, I'm not sure there are any here that do that. I'm sure there's probably a few in here, but we haven't seen them yet.
That is what's really nice. It is what's really refreshing about this series is the fact that you don't get the typical, I must stick around and fight because I like fighting attitude that you get in a lot of shonen manga.
Kentucky!
Well, he's forgiven, but, you know, we're talking about, like, your Gokus or your Luffys. Here, what's refreshing is how the, you know, how the characters actually feel like they're a proper military, in that they're, you know, it's not about personal pride or anything, it's about completing the mission. Mm-hmm. And so that's a lot closer to the way fighting in the real world actually happens. Mm-hmm. So, which makes it, that's a refreshing difference, but... All right, let's move on to One Punch Man, Chapter 37. This was absolutely hilarious. This giant monster, this giant robot comes to kill King, and King's all, right, you know what? Before we do this, let me use the John. When nature calls, I fight at half strength. That wouldn't be good for the data.
I fight at half strength, too. Yeah. I fight at half strength, too, in the heaven.
And so he runs and hides in the bathroom because he is absolutely terrified, because it turns out that he's not even strong. He just happened to be... around where some unknown hero defeats a monster, and it looks like he did it, and it happened several times, and then without seeing him actually fight, they decided he's one of the strongest men in the world, and he gets around just by the fact that his name intimidates people, but now he can't intimidate a robot, and he's absolutely terrified, and turns out that, you know, it's been... it's been a minute, so people are gonna start dying, and you're just like, oh geez, this is hilarious, heartbreaking, and also you really hate him because he's like, I'm sorry, I can't help you, 10 people that will die every minute. Although at the same time, you assume that, you know, Saitama and Genos would step in before the robot can kill anyone. So, but still, you know, you have to feel bad for this guy. It was like, sure, he's been faking it, but what on earth else, what else can he do? You know, everyone assumes that he's really strong when he isn't. It just happened to be an accident. This was a fantastic chapter, I thought.
So, yeah. It was this... What makes you bet that the so-called person that keeps killing these threat-level demon dragon monsters might be the so-called Blast, who might be possibly Saitama the whole time?
Possibly. I don't know. I could see them going that route, but I'm not entirely certain.
It'd be interesting if Blast actually was someone else, though.
Yeah, it'd be curious to see. I think that eventually we're going to have someone who is legitimately as strong as Saitama, because, you know, or there needs to be a reason for why Saitama is so strong. When it was just a comedy, you could get away with Saitama just getting strong just by doing regular exercises. Mm-hmm. But if we're going to go the serious route, we need a good explanation, you know?
There's gotta be a reason why, but you can't just see. Everybody's like, you can't just do 100 push-ups and whatever and just want to be strong. Yeah, that's what I did. I lost all my hair. What'd you do, huh?
Yeah. So either we're going to get an explanation, or I expect that we'll find someone who's just as strong as Saitama, which I think would be fantastic. But yep. Anyway, let's move on to Seraph of the End, chapter
25.
This chapter was okay, though it did remind me why I hate this series still. Because literally all of the interactions between the characters served to piss me off. Just for whatever reason, they were just acting like a bunch of twits, and I just couldn't stand it.
Makes Border look a lot better, doesn't it?
It does, yes. I was like, Border's the worst organization ever. No, I take it back. The Imperial Demon Army. They're the worst.
Let's wait until we see them fight again. We got being totally sure.
We'll have to see.
Well, we did see them fight, but it didn't feel long enough for me. I need to see an actual like fight. I mean, the other fight was, what was it, the Tokyo thing or whatever. You know, when you win his Seraph power or something.
Oh yeah. I mean, I guess if we see what happens there, we'll see. I did enjoy how the punishment turns out to actually be Shinoa's punishment by basically making it seem like, what's his name again?
Yuichiro.
So I was right, you. Like, he was being, you know, punished. They use an illusion. And the other friends come in and they're like, hey, stop it! But then Shinoa, she realizes it was an illusion, so that didn't actually work. And so... yeah, they're going to... Three of them are going to fight the five... Three... Gurren and two of his underlings are going to fight Yuichiro's squad. And so they put together a good strategy, which I like. I like this. A strategy is important. I like where we're going here. And then we'll see exactly, you know, how the fight goes, because we stop right as they clash. So I'm thinking the next chapter will be more enjoyable. I do like when series are a little more, you know, when they do a little more focus on actual intelligent fighting. So we'll see if this series does that.
Just a little something to mention. You know, one of Gurren's officers or members or whatever, I totally forgot that she was actually a teacher of Yuichiro back in the earlier chapters. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I totally forgot.
Yeah, I mean, things have gotten better comparatively, but these characters still annoy the crap out of me.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
And so, yeah. But anyway, let's move on. I think, that's that. So, we're finished with those chapters. So, let's go ahead and talk about...
I don't think we had a new Assassin's in Classroom chapter.
Didn't we? Yeah, we talked about 101 already, didn't we?
Yeah, we talked about 101 now. We don't have 102 for some reason.
Well, bugger. We could talk about the Raws. And then, stuff happened. It was a joke. I don't know.
I can't really read it that well.
Yeah.
This is just personal interpretation. Please don't get offended. We think so and so. So.
Yeah.
I don't want to draw.
All right. Shokugeki no Soma. We already did 84, didn't we?
Yeah, we did 84 already.
Okay, so it's time for 85. All right. The first bite's secret, and this chapter is. We start off with learning who the judges are, and it's. We got Dojima, Jin, Inui, Hinako, and Mizuhara Fuyumi. We met those three before, I believe. I'm not sure about Mizuhara, but the other two we had. And we also get to meet Sunozaki Taki, who owns a Spanish restaurant, and then Kikuchi Sonoka, who owns a Western-style restaurant.
Mm.
Yes, and so the cooking begins, and you get... You get a funny scene between Megami and Megumi and Inui, where just their eyes meet across the distance, and you're like, "Good grief! Someone call the police! This girl is being stalked." But yeah, and then of course you get some humorous interludes between the judges, which of course involves the fondling of the breasts of the one who has big breasts, because of course it has to happen in a manga like this. And let's see, yep. And then basically you get, you know, the explanation of, oh, this is why Yuichiro's stew was no good, it was too tender, it needs to have more of an impact early on. And then it turns out he's going to cook tail meat, which has more gelatin, which allows him to make a stronger flavor. So, yeah, good times. And everyone's like, oh, this is amazing, and look at how awesome he is, and this is what he's doing, and this is why it works, etc., etc. And, yeah, he's all, take that, Nakiri. And, of course, you've got Inui, who has has a great smug look on her face after that. And you talk about the spices, etc. And then, it talks about how this will be so far too delicious compared to, you know, the previous one. But then it turns out that the massive douchebag already Mimasaka already knows everything. And so you're just like, geez, what the heck? How does he know everything? And is he going to surpass you, Soma? Who knows? We shall have to see, because the chapter ends with him doing a weird thing with... He has a chain that's chained to a piece of meat. At first I was like, oh, that must be some kind of metaphor or metaphorical imagery that I was seeing when I read the Raw first. But then it's like, no, he literally has meat on a chain. I don't know why, but... That's kind of hilarious. So I guess now we've got the setup of this is how amazing the food that Yuichiro is making. No, sorry, Soma.
Soma.
Yes, this is
Yukihira.
Yukihira.
It's okay. The name chapters. Can get
known. Yeah, but yeah, we see how amazing the food that he's making, and so now we go to Mimasaka, who has food that is just as amazing, but he is going to improve on it. So we get to see how dangerous the situation is, and now you have to wonder, what is he going to do to win? Because it's probably going to be similar to when Takumi... did the thing where he's like, I will overpass you, but the thing that I did was not enough. So we might see a similar thing where Soma tries to do the same thing. Does something to, something extra that Mimasaka didn't predict. But it turns out that, but this time it actually works or something. I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Let's just remember that Mimasaka, I think he gets his so-called confidence from actually being able to recognize the pride that the chef has at stake. And then when he sees that chef has a pride at stake, then he goes all out to destroy it. That's pretty much so. Unless Soma has pride, which is, his restaurant, of course, then, of course, he has pride. Everybody has pride at some point. But, I really want to see Mimasaka get trounced. And then somehow, you know, with the whole like Benkei to Yoshitsune thing, or was it the other name before that? I was like, oh, I'll become your friend. Okay, that'd be hilarious. Because I know, yes. I know that Mei was hate Mimasaka Subaru at points, mm-hmm. but he is, like you did say, he is an interesting character in that, you know, he gets introduced as like this so-called nice guy, and he ends up being this really like a stalker level dirtbag and
mm-hmm.
interesting character, actually.
Yeah, it is that he is really pretty fantastic. The way he is introduced, the way he's developed, and everything is really quite fantastic. He is so unlikable, but at the same time, there were small bits that were introduced to make him a little bit more likable, but they are overshadowed by ultimately how unlikable he is. And I thought that was pretty pardon me. Oh, there we go. I thought that was absolutely fantastic. So, yeah, I was, I really, really love this chapter, and I'll love to see where this goes.
Yep.
Did we want to go over those extra little chapters, or?
Should we? And they're little extra chapters.
Yeah, there's nothing much to talk about them. They're funny. Let's move on, shall we?
Yeah, let's move on.
We'll talk about Fairy Tale chapter 399, Wings of Despair, and we've got more fighting. Urza and Kagura fight, and you know, it's a typical fight.
Not Kagura.
Oh, what's her name?
Kyoka.
That's it. Yeah. Yes, Kyoka. Yeah, and of course you get the obligatory panty shot, which makes no sense because Urza is wearing armor, but whatever.
And also, it turns out that that one Luffy is a clone.
Yes, it turns out that Mira has to get away. Left, and Elfman and Lisanna are fighting all the Luffy clones, and I love how Mira's like. they'll be alright. They had Jet, Droy, and Warren with them too, and they love Happy. He's like, how did she get such a skewed idea of that trio's capabilities? It's like, oh dear. And then there's a scream that, like this roar, and everyone's hearing it, and Wendy hears it. She collapses in fear because she recognizes that sound, and yeah, Natsu ends up. Yeah, Natsu hears this voice, and then it turns out that everyone hears it now, and it is quite possibly the worst thing that could happen there, because Acnologia is coming.
Ready for round two, guys? I'm not ready for round two.
Ready for the next time skip?
No! Oh my god!
Mashima, please, I am begging you, do it. Anytime Acnologia shows up, there is a time skip. Another 7 years.
Why are you going to stay like 12 years, something younger every time? 12 years?
Yeah.
Just up forever. Like, what the heck? We'll never age, and then Jalal just gets older. It's like,
Yeah, Jalal's
getting awkward now, or I don't think we can work anymore.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, that would be fantastic. Although, I don't think there's going to be a time skip, because we end with... Igneo showing up, saying perhaps this means the time has come. So, does this mean that Igneo is going to show up and save the day?
Or he'll join the time skip too.
Who knows?
I'm kidding.
Yeah, like it would make a difference. All right. So I thought this was an absolutely fantastic chapter overall, just because of that ending where it's just, oh hey, look. It's that guy again. Oh, no.
I was trying to figure out who it was. I was like, wait a second. I'm like, wait, it's not Gildar. He's still up traveling. It can't be him anyway. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wait a second. And I'm like, wait. Oh, crap. Crap, another time skip. You're right.
Yeah, he's like, oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, hey, guys, ready for another time skip? No!
Yeah, I was like, please don't do that. Please don't do that again, Mashima.
No. Yeah. Oh, my God. That's just hilarious.
Yeah. I did. Yeah. So, anyway, let's talk about Seven Deadly Sins, Chapter 92. And you get a great scene with all the holy knights that are left over coming to keep Hendrickson from escaping, which don't know what good they'd do. But he's all, oh yeah, I wouldn't want it for anything less, ah ha ha, but I can't be defeated. And then Meliodas takes his arm off again. And he doesn't even react, he just reattaches it. And yeah, and oh, you get a really gruesome scene where Meliodas does like a spin slice and slices Hendrickson 3 times, once across the lower torso, like the belly, middle of his torso, and like upper belly. And then across his pectorals. And I'm just like, that is absolutely horrifying. But he manages to heal himself, so.
Well, I don't have abs, so I don't care.
Yeah, but just imagine, like, you're just cut across the pecs like that. It's like, ah, gross.
Oh, yeah, I get what you mean.
Yeah, but. Yeah, and then King comes in and ends up just stabbing. Him with all his knives, but doesn't do any good. And of course, Hendrickson makes one of the crucial mistakes of the evil overlord list by yelling, "I am invincible." And then Diane uses her hammer and earth powers to punch Hendrickson with fists of rock, and it's pretty fantastic. But it looks like he's slowly getting overpowered. It turns out that, yeah, demon. Let's see.
Demonic powers can repair injuries, but even if you're immortal, the damage remains.
Yep, so
You can only revive so many times.
yeah, so he's being overpowered, and. Yeah, and then Meliodas cuts him again, and. Yeah, and you got Bon and Galder who are just sort of standing there, like, eh, whatever. And they're kind of wondering, how did Hendrickson get those demon powers? And seems he was studying the corpse of a demon. And just randomly out of nowhere, Hendrickson flies in towards Bon and just attacks him. And you're like, dude, what the heck? What did he do? And Galder's like, looking away during a fight can cost your life, Ban. And Ban gets knocked through. And he ends up finding something. And he asks Hendrickson, he's like, oh, where'd you find that thing? And Hendrickson is like, wait, what? And yeah, Bond seems to be really pissed because he's like, where did you pick that thing up? And then kind of wondering what's going on. And then
And then, yeah.
turns out he has a demon.
It looks like this. It looks like it might be that same demon that was responsible for attacking the boars that Elaine was in.
Oh.
That's probably why Bond's like, "Hey, where'd you pick that thing up?"
That would make sense. That would make a lot of sense because
I
that
need
would.
to check that chapter back, actually. I need to
Yeah,
check that chapter.
I'm pretty convinced that it is because I mean, why else would he be so pissed? But yeah, that was good call. Good call. All right. Yeah, I thought
I
this
just
would.
realized. I was like, "Oh, why is Bond so all right?" Yeah,
Yeah.
I would be pissed too.
Oh yeah, I thought this was a great chapter. You know, it was just a lot of fun. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have that much else to say. I only just read it, so it was quite exciting. All the fighting and the gross cutting and et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Shall we move on to Attack on Titan, the last chapter to discuss for this week?
Yeah.
All right, Attack on Titan, chapter 61. This one, we'll try to keep it a little short because there's a lot of material to go through, but basically it's Erwin saying, hey, the Survey Corps are your spear. You really shouldn't throw your spear away, but all the rulers, like the council or whatever, whoever these guys are all, no, we're not, we're gonna have you killed. But then, what's her face, one of Pyxis's underlings, comes in saying, oh, no. Wall Rose has been breached, and everyone's like, "Oh, we have to save the refugees." But then the people in charge are all, "Nope, just turn them away. They don't get to come in. This won't be good for us because too many people and civil war." And then all the soldiers, including what's his face, the main commander, Zachary. That's it.
Erwin. Oh,
Exactly.
exactly.
Yeah, the commander-in-chief, Zach Lee, who's all, hey, you know what? I heard it. You were going to sacrifice humanity for your own interests. You're in trouble. Which, yeah, it is kind of hilarious. I'm kind of wondering, okay, who are these people? They're like these random douchebags that are in charge. But, yeah. And then you get to see that the king is, well, the fake king is all, oh, what? What?
Like he's a wimp.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, whatever. So he's not important. He just looked intimidating previously. But then, yeah, the Survey Corps finds out that they've been exonerated. And, you know, thanks to the help of, you know, the testimonies of the people that, yeah, that revealed that, oh, hey, you know, turns out that the, military police have been, you know, doing all this illegal stuff. And then we end the chapter with Historia and her father, and for some reason, Eren is tied up, or chained up, and you're like, what's going on here? Yeah, I kind of can't wait for when they go to rescue him, because I can see one of two things happening. Mikasa gets furious at seeing Eren chained up, and kills everyone, or she realizes she's been granted an excellent opportunity and takes advantage of the fact that Eren is now chained up.
We'll find that out in the next issue, which is next Indeed. One.
Yep. So, what did you think of this week's chapter?
I actually like the payoff. Just like with how One Piece did it. You know, like with from how, you know, I was really getting tired of all the politics shit in this, to be honest, and I'm glad that it's finally wrapped up. And in a way, it kind of had to be done because, let's not forget, the reason why humanity was in such a tight shithole was because of how, you know, the Survey Corps, they're doing their job, they're trying to protect the people, but the people just don't seem to give a crap about them.
Yeah.
And because of the politics, they're like, oh, you know, let them die, and, you know, die as the dogs of war as they are, and...
Yeah, and they're all like, hey, wait a minute.
And then slowly over time throughout the main story, we find out, oh, this cover, it's like we're trying to get the answers to why the Titans are attacking them and stuff. And the politics starts to get in the way. Uh-huh. And so, what was the best idea? Get the politics out of the way first.
Uh-huh.
Settle it.
Yes.
And it was done. Random douchebag politicians they are, I don't care, they're gone out of my face. Thank goodness.
I'm a little conflicted because on the one hand, it went too easy. You know, besides Eren being chained up, there wasn't that twist of, aha, you thought you were one, but you haven't won. You know, it just seemed too easy. But on the other hand, I'm glad that we're getting rid of the politics crap.
Yeah, and then you got to deal with Kenny, what's his name?
Yeah.
I keep thinking of Kenny Rogers. Why do you think of Kenny Rogers?
Oh my gosh, they killed Kenny! You bastards!
Actually, I'm fine with that one.
Yeah, I really hope the translator takes his opportunity when that character eventually dies. But, all right. Yeah, let's go ahead and let's wrap things up, shall we?
Yeah, let's do that.
This has been episode 112? Yeah.
Yeah, 112.
For the week of... September
8th.
Yes, this has been a while.
I'm good.
2014. We went over... What the hell did we go over?
We went over Volume 5 of Nisekoi Omnibus Rama 1/2 containing Volume 7 and 8.
Right,
Omnibus was volume, but...
Yeah.
Was it 4 or something?
It's 4.
Okay.
Yep, alright, excellent. Let's go over the author comments, shall we?
Yeah, let's do that.
Judo Shinsuke Kondo, long time no see, everyone.
That is an impressive chin.
Yes. It's like, okay, he's a Bolchinian. Sorry. Long time no see, everyone. I've returned to Jump and the Sugamo neighborhood. I'll do my best.
Wait, so he was in Jump before? Must have been one of his like, previous series that you only had one shot of and didn't get...
Or we didn't know anything about. I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
Yep, well, I'll have to look up what he has done later. But anyway.
I tried to look up too, but yeah, maybe when the series pops up, we'll figure out. Anyways, Naruto's Masashi Kishimoto. Issue 39 in the second panel on page 53. I put wood when water is correct. It will be fixed for the graphic novels.
Eh.
Eh, whatever, I don't care. It's fine, he makes mistakes, I don't care.
Yep. Blue Exorcist, Kazue Kato. Lately I get a big smile on my face when I see the car commercial with Hugh Jackman singing Japanese songs. What is this? I want to see this.
This is totally remind me of the Nicolas Cage one.
Or the Schwarzenegger one.
And yeah, you go find it. You go find it while I read the One Piece one. Yeah. One Piece Eiji Oda. The architect of my current house and my work studio is the same person. So stylish.
That's kind of hilarious.
One of his designed his house look like a fish or something.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Nisako is now Shikomi. I went to Taiwan for the first time for a signing event. I was blown away by the passion of the fans.
Hmm.
Indeed.
What makes you think that it'll probably make it like a Taiwanese character? Nah.
I don't know.
Eh, maybe. No, I don't know. Bleach is Titekubo. The switch plate for my bathroom is broken, but it's actually not much of a problem. What's a switch plate? Oh, wait, is that like the on off switch?
I don't think so. It would have said switch.
Oh.
I don't know what it is. I'm going to look it up. But anyway, we've got Toriko's Mitsutoshi Shimabukuro.
I like that name for some reason. It's really fun to say.
Yes.
It is a switch plate. It is like those on and off switches.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh, weird. Why didn't they just call it a switch? Anyway, for the first time in a while, I was knocked out from sickness. As someone whose health is his only virtue, I have nothing right now. No. Alright, next one. Whole list here.
Totally sucks. World Trigger's Daisuke Ashihara. I bought some tennis balls to use to massage my back, and also do some Okyo Moxibustion therapy. Anything to help relieve the knots. Knots. What is that? I'm not a...
Knots? You know, like when you get knots in your back?
No, I don't know.
It's like, you know, when your muscles kind of get bunched up or whatnot.
Oh, no, I think I haven't before.
Yep, all right. Seraph of the End, Yamato Yamamoto. Just as it says in the cover of the Jump Square issue in Japan, Seraph is becoming an anime. Let's all get into it. Thanks for the support. No. Can't make me. Fuckeration, why does the Viz app keep crashing on me?
What about World Trigger? It's also being anime, too.
I'm looking forward to it. I actually need to look up. Let's see. Anichart
Summit. I'll check both of them out. First episode of both of them out.
Well, yeah, I mean, of course. But anyway, let's do our rankings.
Yes.
I'm going to do this. Let's see. Ranking. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. I think I've got mine. Number 4 is One Punch Man.
Okay.
Because it was hilarious. All right, what was yours?
Serve of the End?
Bastard.
Hey, before you go my case about that. Okay, I know you don't... I like the character for some reason. You don't like him for some reason. Oh, you have your reason. But I kind of like the fact that how it wasn't just, you know, that the punishment wasn't just to, you know, just punish her, because then that'd be stupid. And it's also to help them teach teamwork, and hopefully they'll also learn some teamwork.
Yeah.
But I guess I do like the characters a bit. Yeah. Maybe it's my fault this series is still running. Partially my fault. It's probably my fault.
Yeah. Oh, well. Anyway, my number 3 was World Trigger.
Okay.
I just thought it was fantastic. It was really fun, very, you know, very interesting overall, you know? Good fights. Very well choreographed.
Mm.
And your number 3?
One Punch Man.
Okay.
Well, that's because of how, you know, how we get the reveal of how King is like, you know, He acts all badass, but then it turns out he's really not, and then he just happened to get all lucky at all this point, and it kind of, like, gives you an insight on, you know, like his whole, not dilemma, more like a, what's the word, like a morality situation. It's like, do I go outside and get myself killed, or do I stay in here and save myself while letting people die? I feel bad regardless, but I think it's probably better. You go out and get yourself killed.
Indeed. Yep, alright, number 2 is Judo's.
Huh?
I just really liked it. I thought it was fantastic, and I hope they keep bringing it out in
Oh.
Jump. I really do.
Oh,
Who
wow.
knows? We'll have to see what happens, but I'm hoping that they decide that this is one. People vote for it. I'm going to be voting for it. Just do it. What was your number two?
World Trigger.
Cool.
I actually, like I said, I actually like the chapter just because, like I said, it's like it's not about going out there to show you're powerful. It's about completing the mission, and it's actually good that Kurosawa, who's actually one of the more likable characters alongside Konami, the other guy, Reiji. There you go, Reiji. I only remember like three people's name. I only remember your. Not that I say remember all their names this time around, not their
Right.
full names, but. Like I said, he has to go to complete the mission and not try and jeopardize it like other people probably would.
Yeah.
Goku, I know you like fighting, but dude, come on, man. You're gonna get the world destroyed if all you do is enjoy fighting. But then again, whatever. It's Dragon Ball. I don't know much.
Indeed. Well, I think that, oh yeah, number one.
Number one.
One Piece.
It's. Yeah, because it's one
Indeed.
piece.
Yep.
Because that punch at Doflamingo at the end is just awesome. Plus, it's kind of really interesting how Luffy was like, "Okay, Doflamingo, I mean, that's okay, Law, I'm gonna do this. Like, I'm gonna punch you. Like, wait, what are you gonna punch Law on some the fake out trick and stuff?" And just, hey,
Yes.
the only way to get the Joker is to pull the joke on them. Get it, joke.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Well, I enjoyed my I have to say.
Yeah.
Yep, this was a good week. So anyone, if you have any questions, comments, send them to burninglizardstudios@gmail.com or go to burninglizardstudios.com and leave your comments there. But for now, I think we are good to go. So we're gonna finish up here and we'll see you all next week. Just remember, the manga is always better.